This is the Jerry Doyle Show.
Watching 60 Minutes last night, they were profiling Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg, and she has a book out called Lean In, Women, Work, and the Will to Lead. And apparently, Ms. Sandberg has stirred a hornet's nest of controversy on her views on women in the workplace. I got done with the interview on 60 Minutes and reading about her, and the only thing I really took away from it was that I found her to be uppity. Not as a woman, an uppity billionaire with newfound money. Everything feminine came after that. Joining us on the program to talk about this supposed controversy is Anita Finlay. She's an author, an actress, and a blogger. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, was number one on Women in Politics books on Amazon for 3 months. You probably know her from her work on 24 and The Young and the Restless as Dr. Nora Thompson. Ms. Finlay, welcome back.
Hi, Jerry. Great to be back with you. How are you?
I'm good. I you know, I'm looking at this thing here in Business Insider, the 10 most controversial things Sheryl Sandberg said about women. Yahoo Finance, Associated Press, Sheryl Sandberg on a mission to elevate women. Everywhere I look, I'm seeing this controversy that I didn't really see last night in the interview on 60 Minutes. Am I missing something? Is there a controversy here, or is this controversy for the sake of controversy?
I think that's it. I think that there is an issue with the way that she's presenting how she wants women to quote unquote lean in. First, let me say, you know, as somebody who writes on behalf of women being empowered, certainly I applaud the fact that she's writing a book about women taking a greater leadership role. I think the problem that exists is when she's saying lean in. Let me give you three quick great examples of this. You have Elizabeth Warren, who created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. You have Sheila Bair, who was brilliant at FDIC and gave that organization teeth. That was acknowledged by the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. And yet when it came time to choose a Treasury Secretary, she's passed over in favor of Timmy TurboTax Geithner. Elizabeth
right.
Warren was passed over for the organization she helped create by another guy. And then my favorite example of all time, of course, Hillary Clinton, who was denigrated by her own party and defecated on by most of the mainstream media in favor of a senator with only 2 years tenure. So when Sheryl Sandberg talks about women need to lean in and be more aggressive and ambitious in the workplace and be more forceful in terms of their negotiating skills and all of that, that's a great argument as far as it goes. But what I found was that on some level it is ignoring, you know, the elephant in the room, in that we are fed these kinds of negative messages about women. And she even admits to this in a Time magazine article that she wrote, that, you know, if women are ambitious, it's like a man is ambitious, but a woman is conniving. She
right.
talks about the examples of Heidi and Howard, for example, who are two peers, and they are of equal stature, but yet the guy is considered more likable. So this is not in any way about women in victimhood by any means, but I think that it's a top-down and a bottom-up problem. You can't tell women who are, from the time they're toddlers, injected with all of this negative information from TV, from Twitter, from everywhere, that they are not supposed to excel, or that women who do are not as likable, or that you can't have a family, and then suddenly expect that you're going to lean in. Clearly, the three examples that I mentioned
right.
to you, these women leaned in,
right.
and they were still passed over, insulted, denigrated, or whatever, for what it is they did. So I think that that's part of where the controversy emanates from, that, you know, she's in this elevated position, and she was also raised by, you know, an ophthalmologist, a doctor father, and was voted most likely to succeed in high school and went straight to Harvard and so on. So clearly she has excelled and deserves everything that she has, but the point is that not everybody is starting from that kind of a pedigree, and not everybody is fed these kinds of positive messages in the home.
She, in her book, Lean In, she talks about the dearth of women in positions of power. And she talks about 14% of women in executive executive officers. 18% of elected congressional officials are women. 22 of 197 heads of state are women. Boardrooms still predominantly as male today as they were 10 years ago. Is it that And I don't want this to sound the wrong way, Miss Finley, but it's just that you,
Anita,
you gals are new to the game. Is it just that you haven't yet worked your way into the good old boy, soon to be gal network? That when it comes time for someone to head up a commission or to be the Treasury Secretary, that there are favors that have been done between a lot of guys over a lot of years, that it comes time for their reward, not necessarily based upon the fact that they might not be as qualified as the woman?
Well, you know, you can say that, of course, the world is not fair and it's not a meritocracy, Jerry, but at the same point, you know, Cheryl Baer is a great example with Treasury Secretary. Now, you know, in the second term, who do they choose? Jack Lew, another Washington insider.
I
think there is an argument to be made that women are in the workforce in the last 50 years, so we haven't had the time to build up the good old boy network. But I would argue that we've certainly been here long enough and proven ourselves well enough that we shouldn't have to still have this kind of already listening, that we're still predisposed to believe the man is more qualified. Now, even look back at what happened in 2008. Do you really think if Barack Obama was a woman of any color, a man, you know, someone with 2 years tenure in the Senate, would have been handed the mantle of the toughest job in the world?
I think they were looking for the most pliable liberal,
and I think they
saw him as the most useful idiot. And I don't say that unkindly towards him. I'm not saying that he's an idiot. I've said that on other reasons, but I think he could be more manipulated by the special interests that had a different agenda for the country and the planet going forward than the less manipulative, more strong-willed, more intelligent, more informed Hillary Clinton.
I agree with that 100%. I have no argument there. But still, you know, there are certainly other positions where women lead. I mean, I used to make my living as a corporate spokesperson, and I just know, you know, part of Sheryl Sandberg's other argument that I think women are taking offense at, she's saying don't leave an organization before you leave it. In other words, she's saying that the reason a lot of women don't get ahead is because they're always thinking in the back of their minds about marriage and juggling husband and family. And that was not, even though I am married, that was never a consideration for me. And yet, I didn't make those kinds of little decisions against myself that she is talking about. And yet, you have any idea how tough it was for me to convince CEOs that I was just as trustworthy as any man in a suit?
Well, you know, I think that until you no longer have the exclusive on having children, that is always going to be a part of a decision-making process, that do I bring Anita Finley into the organization, and then she works her way in. She does great job. She's, you know, moving her way up onto Mahogany Row. But then she decides, you know what, the clock's ticking, I'm feeling the call, and I have to have a family. And I think that those concerns are valid concerns. You know, the whole story about you can have it all. I'm not so sure. And again, back to my point about Sandberg, about being uppity, I just saw her as an uppity billionaire. I didn't say, oh, there's an uppity woman. I just, COO Facebook, she's a billionaire, she made a ton of money. And I think when you have new money and you have a bully pulpit, so to speak, that you can come off as, well, I've figured it all out and this is how other women are supposed to do it. Because I thought it was interesting in the interview when she was asked by Ms. O'Donnell about why, if she had such a concern about that there hasn't been a female president yet, that why doesn't she lean in and run for office? She's got $1 billion. And her response, I thought, was a little cagey, where she said, quote, I feel that I'm doing all the leaning in I can do right now, end quote. I thought that that was a bunch of BS. I think she likes being a newbie billionaire. I think she likes being the COO of Facebook. I think she likes her life. And I don't think she wants to inconvenience her life with the possibility of running for president and losing.
Well, you know, I don't have a crystal ball and I can't say that one way or the other. That may very well be true. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, for very different reasons, there are women who resent her making this kind of an argument because she's coming from a very specific set of circumstances that don't take into account, as I say, the bottom-up reality that 95% of the women in this country have to face.
Right.
And so I think that's something that we cannot ignore. And furthermore, like I said, the biggest problem I see, because you're talking about, well, is the woman going to have a family? Is that a reason to deter her? You know, there are women, I would argue, who are no longer of childbearing age, who have grown children. They're still passed over for these kinds of promotions, and there's
really
no reason for it. So that is a reality, too.
I wouldn't have thought that. I really would. Maybe I'm just, you know, a mushroom in a closet here.
I think that there are certainly women who make clear that that's not a consideration for them. And here's something that an MIT professor mentioned in an article that was written in CNN about this very issue today that I think you'd find interesting. She said that perhaps what needs to be addressed, and we've talked about this before, are more flexible gender roles altogether and include men in the equation. Because as I've often said to you, you know, this is not about just advancing women. This is about making life easier for everybody, because
right.
It has been proven that in the economy here and around the world, when women have better access to education, when they excel in leadership, when they excel in terms of having opportunity, access to health care and macro loans and so on, the economy thrives too. It
right.
does better for women and for men. So I'm all in favor of more flexible gender roles. I'm not in favor of a guy working himself to the bone and having a heart attack at 55. You know, what good does that do anybody? Why isn't it possible so that we have more flexible work hours, or if a man is a more nurturing person, to be in the home raising the kid?
I
think that this MIT professor's point was brilliant, is that we really have to look at from the outside in. I mean, that's why I wrote Dirty Words on Clean Skin in the first place, because I saw that we're still very bigoted in terms of the way we see women and men in our own society, and I think it's hurting us both.
Anita Findlay is with us on the program. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, number one on Women in Politics Books, Amazon, for 3 months. Anita Findlay, FINLAY.com is her website. If I had to find a place where I would maybe take an exception to what is supposedly the controversial lean-in statements of Sheryl Sandberg, is where she said, I'm not saying everyone has the resources or opportunities I have. I am not saying that every husband is going to wake up tomorrow, read a book, and do his share. Now,
I'm so glad you brought that up.
I highlighted do his share. So that is it? Am I interpreting it the wrong way, that she's coming from a predisposition that all men are Neanderthals who don't do their fair share, and if they did, then that would free women up to be able to do more of what it is they're being held back from?
No, I don't think that was exactly what she was saying. I think what she was prescribing, something that Ms. O'Donnell pointed out, was kind of odd. She said, Sandberg said, when you choose, make sure that you are choosing a partner who is willing to do their fair share. And O'Donnell was commenting, it was like, well, what is this, a scientific experiment? You know, when you fall in love, it's not so cut and dried. What are you supposed to do? Fill out a checklist? And how are you
yes.
possibly
but
supposed
that, the
to
answer
be able
to that
to
is
know
yes.
That?
You're supposed to fill out a checklist.
It's true. How would you know that in advance? And Jerry, what happens if you get married and then, you know, your career takes off or her career takes off? How are you supposed to have a crystal ball to know what's going to happen 3 years from now? So it's very nice to make these sorts of prognostications,
right.
but from a practical level, that doesn't always work. Tragedy happens, life happens.
There's, you know, I was watching the husband, who looks like a very well-mannered, well-kept man, and he knows that in his lifetime he'll never make total what she makes in interest on that billion in a month. But I was looking at him, and he looked to me to be the more uncomfortable of the two, because he had to adopt the house husband kind of role. He had to be comfortable with the fact that there's no way he's ever going to have more money than her, he's ever going to make more money than her, and that decisions that get made in that relationship are being made by her, and he has to be happy with them.
Yes, but why is that any different from a woman knowing the same thing about a man? And so, you know, I don't know whether that in itself is a bad or a good thing. I think that each couple, you know, that's what I'm talking about. We have to look at the individual in society, and each couple has their own unspoken contract. And
right.
hopefully you haven't made a devil's bargain there, and that you are you know, you have some sort of equality in the marriage or some way that it works out, that one person isn't always saying my way or the highway, whether it's a woman or a man.
Well,
either way is a disaster.
When you got $1 billion, you own the my way and the highway, and you seem to be the person that's going to decide whether or not I'm going to let you drive on that highway. I thought it was an interesting exchange, and I'm more interested in the in this controversy that I didn't see, but hopefully we can talk about this some more as we go forward. I say congrats to her. She's a billionaire. Facebook COO, you know, congrats to her for starting the movement, leanin.org, and, you know, success on her book and all that. Maybe it's just that we're never going to exactly figure out why men are from Mars and women are from Venus, and maybe we're just supposed to accept that we are, and maybe we can align our planets, you know, so that we can live in some kind of intergalactic harmony. Anita Finley, thanks for joining us on the program. I have to get out. I appreciate you taking the time to join us. Check out her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, all major book retailers, and AnitaFinley.com is her website. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
This is the Jerry Doyle Show.